I want to talk about one particular aspect while being over in Europe, and that is driving in Europe. When comparing the different driving conditions in different countries, the United States has absolutely nothing to say. I'll explain. I had the pleasure of being the designated driver while in Germany, since my father did not want to drive, so it was just me doing it. And I have to say the differences are quite noticeable. You know, I've driven there before, but not as much as I did in this trip. The good news about Germany, they have the Autobahn, so I had no complaints with that one, especially when there's no speed limit. And it's very well constructed, so driving 100 miles per hour is smooth sailing. I mean, you don't even know you're going that fast. Of course, what you have to look for are the hidden traffic, whatever you call them, blitzers in German, but the hidden boxes where they will, you know, if you are speeding in designated areas, and I have to say I was not caught at all, so that's good. I was very aware of what I was doing, hopefully. But as far as I know, everything went well. But there are many cities that have narrow roads. Parking is quite difficult and challenging, where it's very tight indeed. And if you have a trouble with parallel parking, here in the States, for example, forget about it over there. Don't even try over there. Just get out of your car and let a professional do it. I'm just gazing in that direction. Anyway, another challenge are the rules of the road. Knowing them is important as you question who has a right-of-way often. And if you are not used to that, which is different from here, so that was definitely a challenge for me there. I'm here in the intersection, like, okay, do I go straight? Do I let this guy in right go? So I had, that was challenging at times too, if you are not aware of that. Now, we also went to Spain after Germany, and I had to experience the driving conditions over there, which I dare to say is even more challenging with their endless roundabouts, often with two lanes, and even more narrow roads and speed bumps everywhere. I didn't get to drive there, but I was a passenger. So was my father, so was Anna, who was with us. We were passengers, but we couldn't just ignore everything that's going on, since our eyes were just as crucial in case the driver doesn't see what's going on at that very moment. People there have the right of way. Bikes have the right of way. There are no shoulders to pull over. There are no room for errors. Bikers and pedestrians live dangerously. I dare say that driving can be the most stressful task in Spain, especially if you are not used to it. And if you are only accustomed to the roads and driving conditions here in the United States. I'm not even going to speak about England. I wasn't there. I know that's challenging too. Everything is opposite in the other lane, whatever. But I'm not even going to go into that. Perhaps one day if I visit, I could talk about that. But why this analogy? The point of this is the vigilance is always watching, being aware of our surroundings, constant distractions that can cause you to make a mistake if not careful. And you have to obey the laws. Now, while in Germany, I spoke about the importance of consistency. As we consistently keep God's laws, His Sabbaths, every year and during the Days of Unleavened Bread. And even during this time, we still have a tendency to slip up, inadvertently making a mistake, eating something, or finding something that's leavened. And if we do, we immediately need to dispose of it. Or we pray for God's forgiveness, because refraining from eating leavening symbolizes our commitment to live a sinless life. Since we are always being tested, it's not just during the Days of Unleavened Bread. Now we think about the symbolism behind all of this and why we do this every year. We are going to observe Days of Unleavened Bread again next year, and not just these days, but all of God's commanded holy days. We attend a feast every year. We keep the Sabbath every week. We keep doing what God commands us to do. This should be a natural thing to us. We do the same thing over and over again. This is not only described as consistency, but this is also unity. We as a church obey, and we do, and we teach what the Bible tells us to, together, of like mind, in unity, without compromising. Because it is stated in the Bible what we should continue to do, we do it. Exodus 31, verses 13 through 17. Makes it very clear, talking about the Sabbath law. This was at that time, but of course still applies to us today. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, "My Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you." So that is a command that we should do. And what happens if we break it? Continuing, "Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days. The seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." It seems quite strict, but this was what God had commanded. Now, we don't do that today, but remember, we're also living a physical life. This is only temporary. We better make sure we are doing what we're supposed to do if we want to inherit eternal life. Verse 16, "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep a Sabbath. Observe a Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign," verse 17, "between me and the children of Israel forever." Now how can we read this and say, oh, this doesn't apply anymore these days? Well, then you might as well rip that page off or whatever. Every time it says generation to generation, it says forever. That's exactly what it is, forever. It does not change. The Bible is consistent, and it does not contradict itself. Like a mother or a father teaching their children, letting them know what is right and wrong. The moment you give in and let the child do what he or she wants, the more difficult it is to get back on track. You don't want to be inconsistent. God the Father and Jesus Christ are our parents. They teach us what is right and wrong. And we may think it is strict at times. But there's a reason why. It's for our own good. Not only that, they love us. Do we love them, though? We live by their way. We live in peace and harmony. We will be consistent in everything that we do. When we are baptized, we are changed and cleansed of our sins. When we take the Passover every year, we repent of our sins, since we do always sin. And then our sins are forgiven, and we are cleansed. We then should do our best to continue to live right and to be clean. This is consistency. Even though we may be inconsistent at times, but God's plan and his law is truly consistent. We read about God's Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, and that we should keep them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that they are no longer in effect. It's quite the opposite. We read throughout the Bible numerous times in both the Old and the New Testament that we are to keep all the commandments. What happens when we break one? Or let's see, in John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21, we read, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then chapter 15 and verse 10 of John, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." If we don't do that, we are not his friends. I mean, it is interesting, right? If you just read just that verse alone, right? "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." If we break his law, we are not considered his friends. This no doubt shows consistency, and for us to be consistent, we have to keep all his commandments. When we break one, in James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles in one point, he is guilty of them all. The law is the whole package. So you can do well in 9 of the 10 commandments, but you stumble in one of them, it's like breaking everything. That's challenging. But another way we are consistent is by prayer and studying. What do we do every day? At least we should before going to bed or wake up in the morning or during any time, really. It's praying. It's an easy thing to do, but also an easy thing to forget. But praying can always be done. There's never a time where we don't have to pray. And it could be about anything. And we pray for our own good. But it's also having a good communication with God. And there are many examples in the Bible where people prayed often. David, Daniel, Job, Jesus, just to name a few. But this is what we do consistently, as you read about in Luke 11, verses 9 and 10. I don't need to turn there, but we know what it says. If we ask, he will answer. It never hurts to ask. But if we don't ask, we're not going to get an answer. But studying on a regular basis is also very important. Each week we have an update. The past few weeks we haven't, for good reason. But we've had one now, jam-packed. We're going to hear all about it in the announcements. But this is very beneficial for all of us. And it keeps us up to date with what is going on in the world. Where would we be without the update, really? Do we really follow the news, everything we're saying, or everything we're hearing about? The update takes a lot of work, and there's a reason why we do it. It's also a command for us to watch what is going on, because we do not know when Christ is going to come back to this earth. Matthew 24:42. Booklets are also being written on specific subjects in the Bible for our behalf, which helps us to study the Bible better and help us understand better. If you think you can just read the Bible by itself and understand it, then all the power to you. I mean, this is a difficult book to understand, but that's why we have the booklets, to go in line with what the Bible is saying. Everybody could read the Bible, but do they understand it? If we don't study on a regular basis, it will be a lot more difficult to retain vital information, and we will start to forget. For example, if you have a skill that you're good at, keep working at it, or else you will slowly forget. The same principle applies here. And God gives us all the knowledge and the skill that we need to understand, as it says in Daniel 1:17. He gave us his Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism, which has opened our minds to more understanding. We're continually growing and learning more and more. And for those of you who are not baptized yet, God is working with you, preparing you for baptism, if you let him. The more we study, the more we know, and the more we won't forget. I know that already. You don't have to tell me this. I already know that. How many times have we heard that? How many times have we said that? You know, knowing is one thing. Doing it is another. And that is a big, big challenge among many. We need to continue to be consistent in keeping the holy days and the feasts, consistent in praying and studying, in all what God commands us to do. And we cannot underestimate God's power. He is stronger than us. He knows more than we do, and he knows what is best for us. And if we are consistent, what God tells us, by obeying him, rather than putting things into our own hands and understanding, God will see to it that we will be blessed beyond anything that we can ever imagine.